Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm so excited to have you with us today. My name's Lindsay Sutherland. I'm your host and your business system strategist. But today, I get the pleasure of introducing you to Renee Williams, who is the founder of Coco Bella Natural. It's a hair care company. But what's really exciting is the story she's going to share with us, how she transitioned from her financial banking career into being an entrepreneur and how it really aligned with her, how she found her purpose and her passion. I know that's something we're all yearning for. So thank you so much for joining us, Renee. I'm excited to hear your story.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, kick it off. Just tell us a little bit about where you were and kind of, your journey. I read a little bit about your bio on your website, but I always like to hear it from the guests themselves.
So before I started Coco Bella Natural, I was in the financial industry. I've always been in finance and management. That was kind of like my wheelhouse. I made a decision like around 2012 that I wanted to like cut off my hair and return natural. It's something that I had been wanting to do for about 3 years, but of course, society tells you that the standard of beauty is long, straight hair, and so I had some reservations. And so finally, I just made the decision to just cut my hair off, and I cut it all off to like literally nothing. But I learned shortly after that cutting my hair off, it didn't play out like I thought it was going to play out in my head. I thought I was just going to be so empowered to be this better person. It was just going to change my whole life entirely. And it didn't immediately. Like I felt like unattractive. I felt like I didn't feel beautiful like I thought I was gonna feel beautiful. So I had some insecurities going through that. And I figured that since there was a trend for women to go natural, and I figured I must not be the only one going through that. So I started a natural hair support group on Facebook. And so I would go into the group and I was looking for a tribe. I was looking for like-minded people. I was looking for people who felt the same way that I did. So the purpose of the group was for me to find my people, but it became something much bigger. And so I became, they called the accidental influencer. So I talked about hair, but within that, I found that there were so many other women like me. So, from the starting the group, being an accident influencer, I was able to work with other brands like on promoting their hair care products and all the things. And I got to thinking that, maybe I could do something like these hair care brands for us, me and my community, because I built this community. And so I decided to start the hair care line. But more than just the hair care line, there's a message that to find your authentic self, be who you are, not let the world, society, your friends, your family tell you who you are, to find yourself. And I find that with women, all women, our self-esteem is mostly connected to our hair. And so there might be times when you will make a decision just based on what your hair look. Your girlfriend say, "Hey, let's go to brunch." And you're like, "Girl, I would, but I haven't done anything to my hair. My hair appointment is not a." So I found that a lot of the way that women show up in the world is dictated by their hair. So although hair care is the item, there's a bigger message. I just want women to find themselves and to love themselves despite what the world or anyone else is telling them. So I started the hair care brand.
Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word FREEDOM to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text FREEDOM to 55444. All right, back to the show. I love it. And I mean, when I read your story, it talked about how even you, I think you'd been straightening your hair since you were just a little girl, right? Like that was just a normal part of your everyday and it was expected. And I think that, how old were you? I can't remember exactly how old you were when you started. Did you say 9?
When I started straightening my hair, I was a little girl. Probably my mom started probably like around 9, 10, 11-ish, real young.
Yeah, it
too young to
speaks
make a
to
decision
me.
for myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, my daughter's 9, and you know, lately she's been sneaking in and getting my makeup. And I told her, I said, you know what? If you, and she just has these really, I don't know, like she's trying to cover up something, right? And I said to her, she said, I just want to be beautiful. I said, well, makeup is here to accentuate your beauty, it's not to cover up anything. I said, I just think not, my own opinion is that 9 is too young for her to be wearing makeup on a regular, I mean, for fun or whatever, that's different. But isn't it amazing how we're just programmed at such young ages to start modifying our physicality? And I'm really working hard to try to steer her mind into like some self-love, but oh my gosh, I'm up against a beast with, you know, other kids at school and TV, and it's everywhere. And so what a powerful truth for you to have, you know, first fallen into on your own to say, hey, you know what? God gave me curly hair and I'm okay with that. And it's beautiful, by the way. I always
Thank
wished
you.
I had curly hair. My daughter's always like, I wish my hair was curly. I'm like, I know, I get that. It's so funny. We always want what we don't have. But, you know, at the same time, it's like knowing that we are beautiful within ourselves. And what was that like for you to finally come to that acceptance? I mean, it was more than just the cutting of your hair. That was a big deal, but it was like the inner work.
Exactly. Because there are so many influences outside of ourselves, our immediate family, our friend groups, or whatever. And so I know for me growing up, little girls were taught to be seen and not heard. So you shy away, you diminish yourself, you shrink so that you're not so seen, because those who make a scene, talk loud or up front, they're considered, you know, you think too highly of yourself. And so that just instilled as a little kid, and if you don't have someone in your family, a mother, or a big sister, or aunt, or someone just instilling in you that you are beautiful without, like you say, the modifications, then there is a journey to get there, because the more someone is in your ear telling you stuff, like eventually you start to believe it and you think, because my sister, my older sister, rest in peace, she was beautiful. She was tall. She was slim. She was regal looking. And so me, 4 years younger than her, looked at her and thought, why can't I be pretty like that? I want to be pretty like that. And it wasn't until we were adults and that we had a conversation when I told her, when I was a kid, I was so jealous of you. You were always so beautiful. And she said, Renee, I thought the same thing about you. But if we poured into each other earlier, then we wouldn't go through these trying to find ourselves in other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you have to do the inner work. You have to get people out of your head. You have to. And it's not easy. It's easier said than done, because I still mentor women, grown women, who are still stuck. They are stuck on what someone else thinks, on what someone else says, what someone else does. And I tell them that no one is you. No one. And that is your superpower. You don't need for someone to tell you that you're beautiful, because I believe, Lindsay, that self-esteem is kind of like a muscle. Like, you know, you go to the gym, you got weak biceps and you work it out and they get stronger and stronger. I believe that also about self-esteem. So even when you're not as confident as you like to be, the more you practice confidence, the more confident you become. And all of a sudden, it's just second nature. And so everyone needs to have that conversation with themselves. But if we could just allow ourselves to be ourselves without the background noise of everybody else telling you who you should be, what you should wear, how you should look, because I believe that and it sounds like a cliche, in our own way, we're all beautiful, but we have to know that for ourselves.
Yes, I agree. And I like it because it's a paradox too with business. It's the same thing. And that's kind of why one of my biggest reasons for inviting you on the show is it's like your testament, your story is just in and of itself really powerful and important for people to hear. But taking it further in this space of business, it's so easy to, try on everybody else's clothes, their systems, their strategies, their way of doing things. And yes, I mean, that's great that it worked for you or them rather. But to go and try to do everything just because so and so is saying it or they're, this or that. I think it's so important that we take that moment to just do the gut check, like, is this okay for me? Not saying it's a bad system or process or idea,
Right.
but just is it what I'm okay with? Actually, it's interesting you just mentioned that, or we just got on that subject because I was thinking about that today. I had seen an entrepreneur who had built a community really talking to people. Like he was just really, I guess, out there talking, made a point of connecting with everybody. And I thought about it today. I was like, is that's such a cool thing. I love it. And then I'm like, is that something that I would want to do? Is that who I am? Am I that outward? And I feel like I'm a little bit of a private person. So I'm like faced in this exact moment, like, am I the kind of person who would just go out and start talking to random people and wear my brand on my sleeve, or would I rather, share my knowledge and let people come to their own truth and seek me out? Like, isn't that interesting how we at every level we have the same conversation?
Yeah, and there's a difference between private and secret, and so and we each have our own gifts. I have always been the type of person that can engage with anyone, from the president of the United States to the janitor or the homeless man on the street. If you'll talk to me, I'll talk to you, because I believe that everyone has a story, and essentially we all want to be heard, And so it's easy for me to talk to people. It was easy for me to turn the camera on and say, "Hey guys, look, I cut," because I'm very transparent. So when I had bad hair days or bad things, that I don't just share the good, I share the real, the good, bad, and the ugly. And not because I'm looking for sympathy or attention, but I think that if I show up in the world as transparent and authentic as I can be, it frees other people to do the same, because they see me look a hot mess. They see me done up. And each time they see me, I'm still me. I'm still to my core. I'm still the same person, whether I have earrings on, whether I have a bonnet on my head, whether I don't have a stick of makeup on, I'm still the same person.
Yeah. And I just really commend you for taking that into your business. I love how on your website you have like your what you're saying, you walk the walk, because on your website you have the positive statements and the affirmations and the mission ahead of the products. Like you have to scroll down to get to the products. It's like mission first, love yourself first, and then when you're ready, here's some products that could support you. Like that's so cool.
So I think that, and that's essentially how it happened, because I never, ever growing up or during while I was in corporate, I never had the desire to own a business. I always thought I would be in corporate America, with my benefits and my vacations and bonuses every once in a while, and that I would just retire there. So it was never a desire, for me to start a business. So I've literally found my purpose. I always say that when I cut my hair, I thought that I was making a hair decision. But through it all, the whole journey, I realized I was making a life decision. I had to do that to get here, because before I didn't know who I was outside of being a mother, outside of being an employee, outside of being a wife. I was always something to someone. I didn't know who Renee was. And I had to go on that journey of self-discovery once I felt a certain way about my hair. And that just brought me full circle. And so, yes, I was, when I got there, and I was like, I have given, because I'm a giving person, very generous. I have given these ladies, because I started that, I was doing that group like 6 years before I ever said I was making a product. I'm just sharing. Here's this, let's do this, this work, this don't work, because I'm authentic. I built the trust. And so they trusted in me. They trusted what I said. They trusted my reviews, anything that I endorsed. They believed it because that's how I had shown up to them. So it was so easy when I said, hey guys, I think I'm going to start my own hair care product. And they was like, yes, we've been waiting for that. And so it was a simple pivot, but nothing that I set out to do.
Well, and I think it was really cool because you were really not there. By doing that, you literally built a community before you built a product, which I think is an important piece of this. This word community, it comes up so much. I think a lot of times many business owners are busy focusing on the sales, on the product, on the
Right.
money side of it. And that's why I love your story because you're so mission focused. And I'm curious, was there something that was inspired you to make that shift? I mean, did you just suddenly one day realize like, oh, I should be loving myself and I think it's okay to be natural. This is a fad and I'm going to follow it or, whatever. You said something like more people were going that direction. Or was there a catalyst?
Well, twofold. Everyone was doing it, and I thought, oh my gosh, she's beautiful. I want to do that. But then also, I developed some medical problems at, in association with the chemicals in the products that I was using to straighten my hair. I developed fibroid tumors that most likely was attributed to all the chemicals. I had upper respiratory problems. So I had to decide, do I want to continue straighten my hair so that society will accept me, or do I want to do what is best for me and my health? And so that was essentially the decision to take care of my health first. I had to grow into the confidence part because I've handled this like immediately, almost immediately, like my chest started to feel better when I wasn't inhaling the chemical smells from the products. But then working on myself and deciding that, because people used to always say, and I don't mean this in a conceited kind of way. People always said to me that you're pretty, and you're so beautiful. But just because a person says it, don't mean you believe it. You hear the words and you think, okay, so externally, in physicality, she looks pretty, but you have to feel it on the inside. And so, and that has to be, you have to feel that. Even if you're not the most aesthetically pleasing looking person, because I don't think beauty is just what you see. Beauty is who you are and it's inside. And so when you find that you're just a good person, you care, you're kind, those are qualities that make you beautiful. You don't necessarily have to have, a model face or a model body. And when you let go of the I guess the superficial kind of things, and you just get to the core of who you are. You say, so everybody was right. I am beautiful, but not because I'm pretty in the face, but because all the other things that I am. And again, you have to practice that, because just because you say it once doesn't mean, because someone's going to walk by and they're going to be much prettier look to look at, and you're going to have more, and then you're going to get in that little insecure space. It's a practice. Every day, every day, day after day after day after day, until you just start to walk it,
I do. And what's interesting, because you don't know this probably about me, but both of my parents passed away early in life. And it got me as because my I was 12 when my mom died, and it got me thinking about contemplating, death and life and part of why I'm on this mission of freedom. But what I was just thinking about is when somebody dies, we don't just think, oh, they were so pretty. Yeah,
ever.
we remember how they were so kind, or their hugs, or their smells, or their laugh, or the funny ways they did things. Like, you don't think about their looks really at all. Like, that's the last thing you even think about. And most of the time, it's always about their service, what they did, the achievement, the giving, the connectedness. And I just think, like, if we could tune into that within ourselves and say, hey, this is who I am. This is not a physically who I am. It's like, you show up in the world as a light, as a presence, as a being. And what are you giving to the world? That is your mission. That is who you are. And ultimately, that is your beauty. Like, beauty isn't even necessarily about looks. Look at Mother Teresa. I mean, she
Exactly.
wasn't glamorous by any stretch, Like, she's famous for who she was and the love she gave. And I just love that. I wanted to ask
And that
you.
is, go ahead. I'm
No,
sorry.
you go. We'll finish this
I
thought.
was gonna say, and that is so true, because I can't remember off the top of my, maybe it was Maya Angelou that says, people will always remember you for what you do, not how you look. And you're right, is that when I think both my mom and my dad have passed, and my sister has passed, and whenever I write, and so I write these thoughts of the day, and so whenever I'm remembering my mom, it's never about she wore this. It's like, I remember the time mom said, "Come over and I made biscuits because I'm an adult child, and she still mothers me." So you're right, beauty. That's the world. That's superficial. And so again, you don't have to be aesthetically pleasing to the eye, because you know who you are on the inside. You know that you're kind. You know you care. You have empathy and sympathy, and you're giving all of those things that make you you. That no matter what you look like, you'd still be that. That is your beauty.
I agree. So I was curious, since you mentioned you kind of were an accidental entrepreneur, I guess we could say, what were some of the challenges just on the business side, strategy side, that you might have faced, and how did you overcome them when you were in the process of maybe doing your product development?
So number one, because I am such a giving person, and I have been like giving information for free forever, my first thought was, who's going to buy from me? Then secondly, it was like, Renee, you're not a chemist. You don't know how to formulate products. Like, what are you going to do? And so when, for me spiritually, when God tells me I can do something, I know that he's going to make provisions, so he's going to find a way for me able to do it. And so things kind of fell into place. Like, I had a friend that says, "Hey, I know a cosmetic chemist. You can work with her." And so we got together, we met, and I was like, "This is my vision. This is what I want to do." And she was like, and immediately, I only interviewed one cosmetic chemist, and she ended up being the perfect person for me. And so she taught me how to formulate at a price. It wasn't free. But after the first product, and I'm such a quick study, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be able to do the next two, three, four, five, six products on my own. And I did. So that was challenging, because I had this idea. I knew about ingredients, I knew how they interacted with each other and the outcomes, but I didn't know whether it's 2 ounces of aloe vera juice and 1 ounce of Abyssinia oil. I knew nothing of that. So that was a challenge. The challenge in my own head was like, who's going to buy from me? But what I learned from that is that people don't necessarily buy a product or a service, they buy into the person. And because I had built this community over all these years, never asking for anything, it was always giving, giving, giving. There was never an ask. So when it was time for me to ask, they was like, count us in, count us in. And then just time management, because when I first started my business, I also had a 9-to-5 job. And so I had to figure out that whole strategy on how I'm going to do all the things that I need to do for my business, but also show up and do the job that these people are paying me to do. So that was a little bit of struggle, and it took some time to work it out. But the other things, I don't even really call them, I don't mean to imply that being an entrepreneur is easy by any stretch of the imagination. It was lucky for me in the sense that if there could be anything luck related in 2022 is when the pandemic happened, is that everyone was at home and they had nothing to do but shop online. My business opened online, so the sales were insane. Now, I will say that it kind of tapered down a little bit once the world started to open. But again, people don't necessarily buy your products, they buy into you. And so I still, as a running a successful business, I still show up for my community doing the same things that I was doing way before I created a product and opened up a online store.
Well, that's awesome, but like, didn't that create a second level of challenge? I mean, challenges, I don't like the word problem because a challenge is just simply something to overcome. A problem is a barrier, you know? And when a business goes into hyper growth mode, sometimes that can create its own set of challenges. Like, for example, keeping up with production. And how did you go from like making the products, I'm assuming in your kitchen or wherever you were starting out, testing them on yourself, to then mass producing them? Or I'm sure now you don't make every batch, do you? I mean, you've got a system for that.
No, I still do, and this is why, because I started in my spare bedroom, making products just in my spare room. My spare bedroom was, I made the products, I shipped, I packaged, I did all the things in my spare bedroom. And it when at the height of the business, it was like just me. And so I spent hours upon hours upon hours upon making sure I had enough inventory to go out. And I never complained about that because I said to myself, if you can go into work and give these people 8, 10, 12 hours a day, clearly you can do that for yourself. So tired is not something that needs to come to your vocabulary because you do that for someone else. You're building someone else's dream so that they can leave a legacy for their children. And can't you do that for yourself? And so that was my mindset, is that I'm gonna get it done. I do believe in, self-care and not burning yourself out. But yeah, it is a challenge. But so now if you stay ahead, my cousin always says you gotta stay ready so you don't gotta get ready. So if you stay ahead, because you can prepare for the influx of orders in advance. Does that make sense?
Well,
Yeah, but
basically,
I still make them.
that's really what we talk about is, you know, setting up your systems to scale. I mean, you don't have to be doing the high volume today, but you definitely want to have a system and a process in place so that should you know, need
Absolutely.
to, you can get on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
excellent. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing those insights because I know there's a lot of people out
Sure.
there who have ideas, you know, and they're just kind of like, well, I don't know. They're at that stage. I don't know. I'm not a chemist. I don't know how to put this together. What will I do? How will I do it? And to know that you can have a significant online presence and a product, that's fantastic. So thank you so much. Do you have any last words of wisdom? Like when it comes to chasing freedom and knowing our truth, you know, what might be some insight or a last takeaway that people could hear from you?
Again, so I always like to say that no one is you, and that's your superpower. But you've got to tap into that. You have to get everyone else out of your head. Like find a spot, a room, a closet, somewhere safe, somewhere quiet, and do some self-reflection. And if you Whatever it is, whatever your source is, God, the universe, whatever that is, tap into that. You've got to find out who you are, because just being able to be yourself, that is freedom. That to have not to have to worry about, walking in the office, and not that going a 9-to-5 job is bad, I'm not saying that, but not having to worry about people dictating to you how to act, what to do, what to wear, that in of itself is freedom. When you can just walk freely into the world and not care, and I don't want to say care like in a negative way, but not be so bound to what other people are thinking. To me, that's freedom. I am free to be me, and I live my life out loud with intention and on purpose. And that is what I want for everyone, your listeners, my listeners, everyone. Just live your life for you. Everyone else will they'll get acclimated, or they'll fall by the wayside. But as long as you're your authentic, true self, that is freedom.
Amen to that. Yes. Okay. Wonderful. What a great way to wrap it up. Everybody, visit Coco Bella at cocobella62.com and find out also, Renee, how can they get into your community? Is that also on your website?
So it is, no, it's not on my website. That is a Facebook group, and it's called Coco Bella's Natural Hair Community. So you
Perfect.
can just search Coco Bella's on Facebook, and they have to send a request, and we have to accept you in because we want positive people. You know, we don't do drama.
I like it. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.